Good morning, this is Doug Fain. Welcome to All Things Jessamine on Jess FM. Well, this morning, a great program I think that you will enjoy, especially if you are old enough to remember Chef Sears Restaurant. We're going to be talking about Chef Cornelius Sears as we interview his daughter, Pat Sears Hager. Talk all about her dad and the great food and the great times at Chef Sears Restaurant right after this word from our sponsor, Sutherland Chevrolet.
Neighbor, I buy my cars and trucks at Sutherland Chevrolet right here in Nicholasville because I know who they are. They've been in business here since 1925, and they're always honest and ethical. This is a hometown dealership. No high-pressure sales tactics, no lot lizards, no sleazy come-ons. Just local people treating you the way they'd like to be treated when buying a car or truck. Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville. A different kind of automobile dealership.
Welcome to All Things Jessamine. We are glad to be here on this Saturday morning with you and reminisce once again about a place of business that used to be in our community and we miss so very, very much. Up on Nicholasville Road, we had a restaurant. Now, if you travel up Nicholasville Road now and if you know where the Boot Store is, right across the road is a place where they sell these wooden buildings, outdoor buildings and play sets. Well, right there used to be a restaurant for many, many years called Chef Sears Restaurant. With us today, we have Chef Sears' daughter, Pat Sears Hager. Pat, good morning.
Good morning.
So glad that you are with us today. Let's start with the obvious question, I guess, and that is, how in the world did Chef Sears get started? Now, when I say that, I'm not necessarily talking about the restaurant. Let's go back and talk about how he got started. Tell us a little bit about your dad, how he was born, and things like that.
He was born in 1905, mm-hmm. and in West Virginia. And the first restaurant he ever had anything to do with was a little diner that he went into partnerships with right out of high school. And this was when he was married to my mother. Mrs. Sears, as you know her, was his second wife.
Right.
But him and my mother was partners. And from there, his food experience went from hotels to country clubs and nightclubs. Dad was sort of a character, and he had characters that worked for him. I was the only child of his crew, and they traveled with him from Miami in the winter to up north mm-hmm. in the summer. And he worked in many hotels. He fed presidents and many movie stars at his restaurant here on Nicholasville Road, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, when they made Raintree County.
Right.
The movie stars.
I'm trying to think, the actor in that.
Montgomery Clift,
yes.
And Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
And
they filmed part of that in Danville, didn't they?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. But he had a varied career. He worked in Chicago, and Daddy was a storyteller. He liked to tell about the time he worked in this hotel in Chicago, and this was during the Al Capone days. Mm-hmm. He changed clothes in the basement where they had their lockers before he would go into his chef's outfit. And one day he saw a barrel in the hallway. And this was when they got their meat in halves and, you know, whole mm-hmm. meat, and they had to cut it up. They had butchers in the kitchen. He thought, why is that barrel in the hallway? That shouldn't be there. And he opened it up, and there was a body in it.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. He went back in, changed back into his street clothes, and left, and never went back. I consider Daddy a Damon Runyon character,
yeah.
and his friends yeah. were like that, and that's how I grew up. Lyle missed that, my brother. He missed all that yeah. because there's such an age difference
right.
in it.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up Chicago and you bring up Al Capone, because on last week's program, I interviewed Dina Cassidy, and we talked about a gentleman who also worked in Chicago and also had interaction with Al Capone. And in fact, she told the story that when he was here in Nicholasville, that he used to have your dad cook a whole fish for him and wrap it up and bring it back to his cats. And I'm talking about Doc Yearwood.
Yep.
And so it's kind of odd that we've had two shows in a row here where we've mentioned Al Capone in Chicago, and they've talked, you know, they link together. Well, let me ask you, now you said he started in West Virginia, right? In
a little, yes.
What brought about his interest in cooking? Do we know? I mean, what happened there?
I don't know. I think his parents at that time had moved to Akron. Mm-hmm. And he tried to work in one of the rubber factories, and he hated it.
Yeah.
And this old guy that had the diner in West Virginia made him an offer, and he went back there and started in the food business, and he liked it. And Daddy was always a people person.
Yeah.
He really did so many things for so many people. I know of a person that worked for him for years, and he paid for his burial.
Really?
And I had a family dinner, and my grandson bought a little gal to the dinner. And as we were sitting there eating, she said, "Do you know that your dad bought my mother's wedding dress when she worked at the restaurant?"
Wow.
So there's just one story after another. I don't know how many young people he helped get into the food business. Lonnie King, he went into the food business, a local boy from here. Of course, Carl Kestel, my stepmother's brother,
right.
He worked there. Benny, my husband,
yes,
worked for Dad. My whole family, Connie, she worked. I asked Connie this morning, I said, "Of all the things when you worked at the restaurant, what do you remember most?" And she said, "Peeling those potatoes for hash browns." She said, "I hated that job."
But she would have been a little girl when
she was probably in junior high or high school. But Dad, there again, that Dad made everything homemade. Mm-hmm. He didn't buy a bag of frozen hash browns and throw them on the grill. His salad dressings were homemade, and his gravies were homemade. And you don't see that now.
No.
And he used real butter, real cream for the coffee. Mm-hmm. He just was a stickler about things like that.
How did he find his way to Nicholasville?
Well, years ago, that restaurant, which was Chef Sears Restaurant, was called Louis Gold Coast.
So there was one there before Chef Sears?
Yes.
Okay. You're going back before my time.
Way before my time.
Before your time, too. Okay. It was called Louis.
Louis Gold Coast.
Okay.
And the guy that owned it, of course, that was Prohibition.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a few little things on the side, like I had a few slot machines, and I think he might have done a little bit of bootlegging, and the feds finally caught up with him.
Yeah.
And his wife, when he was put in jail, turned it into a duplex. And Dad was asked if he would come and open the Golden Horseshoe down on Main Street in Lexington. It was across the street from the Phoenix.
A very popular hotel.
Yes.
Restaurant.
And he bought that property at that time.
Yeah.
He always wanted to open a restaurant there.
Uh-huh.
So he moved around a little from time to time, and him and my stepmother finally settled here and opened a restaurant.
Right.
Now, the big dining room was built onto the restaurant after Dad bought it.
Mm-hmm.
Fed three generations, and three generations worked there.
You know, when you think about places in your life, and you can pick any of them, just for example, when I think of Hemphill's Pharmacy, one of the things I think about was that little clown that used to ride across the string that they had on the ceiling, you know, just little things like that. But when I think of Chef Sears, what is in Doug Fain's mind, or four things. One is the paneling, believe it or not, the paneling in the room that went from ceiling to floor, the gun collection. And the thing that is most vibrant in my mind is my grandfather Roar eating lamb fries. And for some reason, when I think of Chef Sears, that's my memories. And I know there's people out there that have the same kind of memories and things like that. I mean, that was the place to go and eat in Jessamine County, and not just for Jessamine County people, from Central Kentucky.
All over.
What's your earliest memory of that? Of course, how were you when he opened up the one here?
I was a senior in high school.
Yeah. Was it popular right from the start?
Yes. He was told when, like Ralph Campbell and I can't remember the guy's name that had the little inn, but they all told Dad, said, "You'll never make it because you can't have a liquor license in Jessamine County."
Mm-hmm.
Dad, being who he was, said, "You're wrong," and went ahead and opened it.
Yeah.
We had people from Cincinnati that would call us and say, "We're driving down that way. Don't close before we get there."
Wow.
Of course, being an ornery teenager like I was, me and some of the other girls sometimes would go in the kitchen, and the big clock in the kitchen was at a height where we could manipulate it a little. And sometimes...
you change the time.
Yeah, we'd run the clock up a little on Dad. So we could get out of there early because we had other fish to fry.
That's right.
We had people from Danville, Winchester, Lexington, all over, you know.
Of course, one thing you have to remember is back prior to the interstate, U.S. 27 was the only way you could go south. I mean, you had to come through Nicholasville. You had to come through downtown Nicholasville to go anywhere south, whether it was Tennessee or to Florida. So you had back then, you know, we had a discussion on one of our programs, Pat, about the businesses that used to be in this town and how in the world did they all get supported, because you had a number of grocery stores and a number of things like that. Well, if you think about the traffic that came through this county at one time, it was hopping. I mean, you think you got traffic now compared to then, it's all relative. It was a lot of traffic. And so that had to help. A lot of people came through, and that was one of the first places they saw, because back then that was way out in the country.
Yes, it was.
Way out.
That's why they said he'd never make it.
Yeah. Remind us some about some of the things we ate there.
Well, one of the most popular dishes on Sunday was turkey. And you didn't get a slick turkey roll sliced and canned gravy put on it. You got a turkey. Mm-hmm. I forget how many turkeys Dad roasted a week, but you got real turkey and dressing, and everything was homemade. Mm-hmm. And if you ordered a hot brown, that's what went on your hot brown. And if you ordered a turkey sandwich, you got real turkey.
Yeah.
Nobody ever went away hungry. If you came to Dad's restaurant, I guarantee you when you left, you had a full tummy.
Yeah.
And I remember one situation, Dad never turned anybody away. Being on the route, so to speak, a lot of people would stop at the back door and knock that maybe were going somewhere and ran out of money. And Dad always fed them.
Yeah.
And one family I'll never will forget, he fixed them all ham sandwiches and sent them out the back door to them and to send them on their way. And the man came back in and said, "My kids don't like ham sandwiches. Could they have hamburgers?" Dad made them hamburgers.
Wow.
Sent them on the way. But steaks were popular. We sold a lot of steaks. And at one time, Dad had a Chateaubriand on the menu, and you had to slice that at the table. Mm-hmm. You had to bone the trout at the table, which on a busy night was a headache.
And of course, to a lot of people, there would never be a hot brown unless he made it. I mean, that was just, that was the standard that was set. In fact, you and I were just talking before the program. For many years, Halls on the River would put on their menu about the hot brown at Chef Sears in Nicholasville. Where did that come up with? He didn't invent the hot brown, I guess, but,
but
he perfected it.
The Brown Hotel in Louisville was the first person, the chef there, to come up with that. Why he did it, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's the dish that most people that remember Chef Sears will bring, either that or the lamb fries. One of those two is what they will bring up the most when I talk to people.
Yeah, me too.
Well, tell us about his guns. I know he liked to collect guns. He had a lot in his building.
He loved collecting guns and our halberds, swords. He had all kinds of weaponry. And my stepmother, I called her Eveline. She wasn't real crazy about Dad wheeling and dealing in the guns. But when Beth was a baby, we went to visit, and I had her laid out on my brother's bed to dry her off. And I just reached up in sort of under the pillow, straightening out the bed, and there was a gun under my brother's pillow. And I went back downstairs. That's when they lived over the restaurant. And I said, "Dad, what is that gun doing in Lyle's bed?" And he said, "Well, I traded that, and Eveline was coming up the stairs, and I didn't have anywhere to put it, so I shoved it under Lyle's pillow." And I said, "You scared me to death sometimes."
Wow.
But he loved wheeling deal. He had a pair of Colt 45s in the holster hanging on the wall. And this is a story I'll never forget, because he had an offer. Some guy walked in the restaurant, and I guess Dad was in a weak moment. He took them down and sold them to this guy, and he was sorry he did that.
Yeah.
Eventually, he auctioned all of them off because Dad had a lot of guns up at the house, and after he had his heart attack and didn't work on a regular basis, mm-hmm. he would take people up there and show him.
Oh.
And he took the wrong person.
Yeah.
And they broke in, and it was just before Lyle was to get home from school.
Mm-hmm.
And that scared Dad.
Yeah.
Lyle and I both told him later after we, you know, Lyle grew up and all that, the guns didn't mean that much to us.
Yeah.
And he needed to get rid of them if he was going to worry about them that much. So he sold them off at auction.
Now, the house you speak of was up behind the restaurant, the best I can remember, up on the hill.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that always amazed me, going up there now through 27, of course, the road has been widened, I understand. But still, if you look at that lot where the restaurant sat, you know, I've often thought, how in the world are they getting them cars in there with all that, with a restaurant too? Because it doesn't look like it's that big of a space. And also, wasn't it pretty close to Cannon's Fix-It was right up around that area too, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Yeah. And Combs Grocery, I guess that was the only businesses that were up in that area at that time.
Windmill.
Is that right? The Windmill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the little motel beside us, I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, yes,
Combs.
I had forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Cleo Combs from the grocery store down there worked at the restaurant.
Do you remember some names of people? I know you can't remember them all, but tell us some people that used to work there.
Well, of course, Alice Bruner and Mary Naylor, Virginia Reed, Catherine Sponsel, and Bernice Corman all were waitresses when I was there.
Yeah.
And they were there for years. Alice's daughters talk about it a lot on Facebook and their mother. And she was one of the sweetest people I ever worked with.
Yeah.
She was a hard worker and a wonderful person along with it. And most of the people there were. We were like family.
Right.
What one did, all of us did.
Right.
Only Daddy used me sometimes as a whipping post. He got a new girl in and she didn't have her shoes cleaned or her shoelaces clean and didn't have stockings on that weren't full of runners or something. He would call me out when we'd be sitting folding those napkins, if you all remember the napkins in the dining room, how they set up in little points, you know. He would say, "Pat, did you polish your shoes today?" And I'd look down. I knew better than to come on the floor without a starched uniform and clean shoes. And it dawned on me finally, he was, instead of saying to the girl and embarrassing her, Daddy had a heart big as a house. He was at the old times, he would say somebody was in the family way instead of pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
He had a temper. I remember one time him and Doc Shelley went in the dining room and picked a man up and escorted him to the door and threw the door very forcefully.
Really?
Yes, he was causing
a little problems
in the dining room.
You know, most people don't realize it's a hard job.
It is.
Whether it's in the back cooking or out waitressing or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of hard work that goes into that kind of business. Long hours, as you know. But it's very rewarding, I guess, especially when you've got a place that's so good that people just remember it. You know, here we say, how long has it been closed?
It closed in, it was tore down in 1985.
Okay.
I don't really remember the date it was closed. Dad died in 1980. After that, my stepmother and her brother ran it, and Lyle ran it for a while.
But since your dad, we have to go back to 1980 when he died, and that's 35 years ago. What would you think he'd say if he knew today that there are still people who remember him in that place like they do?
He would be so honored. He had many awards and a lot of accomplishments, but you would have never known it.
Mm-hmm.
He would be proud of Lyle that he has carried on the tradition, and he would just be very, very honored, and he would probably laugh because he never thought what he did was anything special.
Yeah.
He was trained the old-fashioned way. I remember him talking about when he worked in some of the hotels, and he worked with people from all over Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very tight-knit group of people back then, and they would turn their back if they were making a sauce or something. Dad would try to look over their shoulders, you know, or something. And they didn't want anybody to know what they were doing or how they did it.
Right.
If he could see U.S. 27 now and how things have changed.
Yeah, you're amazing.
And Dad liked to go out and eat. Mm-hmm. He liked to see how food was presented, mm-hmm. what mm-hmm. it looked like. Mm-hmm. He always said, you have to please the eye before the stomach.
Yeah.
So he wanted the plates to come out of that kitchen looking
right.
like a picture.
Right.
And he also said, if a customer comes in and tells you that table is a horse, you say, yes, sir, and I'll find a saddle for you. And that was, and you talked about him making Mr. Yearwood's catfish. He had, mm-hmm. we had another couple that would come in. They had a service station in Lexington, mm-hmm. and they would order a bulldog patty. And he always knew that was for their dog. And all the waitresses knew him. Our customers became like family,
right.
too.
Right, right.
We had people who had dietary problems, mm-hmm. and Dad would always fix it the way they wanted it. Nothing was ever fixed ahead of time.
Right.
Everything was cooked to order. If you took down your order, you didn't take it back and hang it up. You hollered it in.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
I've got three turkey dinners,
sure.
one with mashed potatoes and the other one with French fries. Or if you had salads, you called those in, the salad
yeah.
girl made the salads. All was done verbally. Nothing was written down, no computers. You washed dishes over three hot tubs. And
the way it used to be is amazing, isn't it?
It is. And we'd run out of water sometimes. You know, we were on a well when we first opened.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have to melt ice in order to put water in the glasses.
Wow.
And then the water would come back. I don't know. I can remember. We used to borrow back then Starlight Restaurant, which is now Colonel Sanders uh-huh. on Nicholasville Road in Lexington.
Right.
Rasmussen.
Yeah.
And Dad were big buddies. And Dad would get chicken livers from him sometimes mm-hmm. because he didn't sell that many chicken livers, mm-hmm. and Dad did. That mm-hmm. was a big thing on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would trade back and forth. They'd run out of lettuce. They'd, you know, if it would be on Sunday and
right.
they couldn't get it.
Right.
And it was the same thing with Nell Brandenburg and Clarence at Windmill.
Right.
They'd run out of something. They'd come down to Dad's, and they'd trade back and forth, you know. As far as I can remember, Dad never ran out of a thing on his menu. And it was a long, varied
menu. Yeah, it was
menu.
Big. You mentioned Lyle, and it brings to my mind, let's real quickly talk a little bit about what you two have been doing. Where is Lyle now?
Lyle is retired, mm-hmm. and he's had a lot of health problems. He lives in Lexington. Mm-hmm. And he's still interested in trains. He has two sons. One is managing a little restaurant, and I can't remember where it is. And the older one, he has a job working with, he does something in a laboratory. But he's also very active in the theatrical scene in Lexington, and he's in a lot of plays. He's doing very well right now.
And you? Tell us a little about you and who you married. We'll talk about that old guy and your kid.
Well, I have two daughters. One, Beth, is in Miami right now babysitting her grandbaby because her daughter just graduated from medical school.
Great.
We now call her Dr. Kennedy.
Good.
And she is doing her residency, which is many hours, and the daycare's don't take care of. She's single mm-hmm. mother. Mm-hmm. So Beth is in her seventh heaven down there. And Connie is a critical care nurse
right.
at St. Joe's.
Right.
And she has four children and two grandchildren and another one on the way. So she's very busy. And Benny and I just have the life. I'm so blessed. We worked very hard. And we go to Florida in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And we come back to Nicholasville, and we're at our house a few days a week. And other than that, we're at our houseboat on Lake Cumberland.
Great.
Have the best worlds. He plays golf every Tuesday and Thursday
yeah.
with a bunch of old guys at Lone Oak.
Well, we think a lot of Benny. Benny and my dad were big buddies, I
yes,
know.
They
and,
were.
And that's how I guess I got to know him. Of course, Connie and I, same age, went to school for years, and I've always thought a lot of Connie. You know, it's a sad thing that we don't have places like Chef Sears anymore.
It is.
There's a lot of good restaurants out there, and there's some people that can cook good food. But to have the whole package, whether it's the service that he required that the waitresses give you, or the food, the quality, the presentation, it's sad. But isn't it great that we can remember it and we can look back and be blessed that we had it? If you could describe, this is a question I ask a lot of people when I interview them. If you could describe your dad in one word, what would it be?
Generous.
That didn't take long.
Generous.
And that's a good one.
I know there's so many people that he helped. And, you know, the things that are going on in the world now, I would hate to think what Dad would say about it.
Yeah.
I just hate to think. One thing I want to mention, a lot of people don't know this, but the Phoenix Hotel in 1942, when Dad was chef there, mm-hmm. was taken over by the Army. Mm-hmm. Dad got a letter. I have a copy of it here.
Yeah. And this is from the University of Kentucky, from B.E. Brewer, who was a colonel, commanding colonel. So this was written to him in 1943 when he was chef at the Phoenix, right?
Right.
I'll read it here real quick. My dear Sears, isn't that interesting how they addressed him? My dear Sears, now that the Army will soon vacate the Phoenix Hotel, I want to take this occasion to thank you for your long hours of hard work and fine cooperation in feeding more than 1,000 men daily. Think about that, folks. 1,000 men a day over a long period of time. Although you were dressed in white instead of Army khaki, you have rendered a valuable service to the Army and to your country. What about that?
A lot of people didn't know that.
There's a lot of ways you can serve our country and not put on the
absolutely.
Uniform.
Absolutely.
He did.
Absolutely.
It's a great story. Pat, thank you. I tell you, I just wish we had him back.
I do, too.
I wish we had a place like it back. And I appreciate you coming in and to help us remember the way it used to be. And let me tell you that there are a lot of people out there that I talk to that remember Chef Sears and the restaurant very fondly. And you should be proud of that.
I'm very proud of it.
Well, I want to take this time to thank Pat Sears Hager for coming in and talking to us. Some great memories about her dad, Chef Sears, and his restaurant. This is why we do this program, to remember the good times and remember the present times, too. That's why we call it All Things Jessamine. We'll do it again next Saturday morning at 11. It's right here on Jess FM 105.9.
Neighbor, there's nothing that makes me madder than buying something today and finding a lower price tomorrow. That's why I only buy tires at Sutherland Chevrolet in Nicholasville. They have the price match guarantee. If you purchase any brand name tires from Sutherland and you see that brand available somewhere else for a cheaper price in the next 30 days, they'll refund you the difference. That's just one of the honest and ethical business practices you'll find at Sutherland Chevrolet at 1060 North Main Street in Nicholasville. A different kind of automobile dealership.